for interfaith understanding and for just immigration reform. Standing on the side of love. Some might say, what's the alternative? Standing on the side of hate? Clearly, no one would do that. Well, an answer arrives from an unlikely source. Comedy Central, a cable channel, has two nightly news shows. One is called The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, who injects a funny voice of reason and clarity as he's doing spoofs and reporting real news and interviewing real guests. The other show is The Colbert Report, which features Stephen Colbert, a political satirist and comedian who portrays a caricatured version of conservative political pundits. In response to Glenn Beck's recent rally on the Washington Mall, which he called Restoring Honor, both Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert are planning their own rallies. Jon Stewart has called a rally to restore sanity. A million moderate march for rationality that would say to the world, we are here. We are only here, though, until 6 because we have a sitter. He suggests signs like, I disagree with you, but I am pretty sure you're not Hitler. And I am not afraid of Muslims, Tea Partiers, socialists, immigrants, gun owners, gays, but I am scared of spiders. Stephen Colbert responds with his competing rally. Keep fear alive. His rally's message is, America, the greatest country God ever gave man, was built on 3 bedrock principles. Freedom, liberty, and fear that someone might take our freedom and liberty. But now there are dark, optimistic forces trying to take away our fear. They want to replace our fear with reason. But never forget, reason is just one letter away from treason. Of course, this is funny, except that it's true. There are people who seem to be standing on the side of fear. In fact, the Standing on the Side of Love campaign says right now, both love and fear are rising up in our nation. We stand on the side of love. We want to harness love's power to stop oppression, exclusion, and violence. Now, this fomenting of fear is playing out particularly in the realm of immigration. And it's heated up in Arizona. As they enacted legislation, Arizona Senate Bill 1070, shorthand SB 1070, with broad, sweeping measures requiring local police to enforce federal immigration laws. My colleague, the very brilliant Reverend Tom Shade from Worcester, Mass., sends a wake-up call with this analysis. It is important to recognize the larger political context, for it is as important now as it was in the days of Selma. The conservatives plan to reduce the immigrant population through a policy of attrition by enforcement. That is, make the experience of being an undocumented immigrant so painful that people voluntarily return to their original country. While this may sound plausible in the way that cracking down on graffiti and broken windows is part of an anti-crime strategy, in practice, it fosters continuous harassment of citizens and non-citizens who are not clearly Anglo in ancestry. Conservatives think that they can put the liberals in the soft-on-crime box by calling for this strategy. They would say they have the guts to take a firm stand, while liberals are too wishy-washy to do anything effective. They are the strong fathers, and liberals are enablers of bad behavior. However, the frame that beats the strong father frame is the brother-sister solidarity frame. When the siblings stand together against the abusive father, the dynamic changes. Here ends the words of Tom Shade. Tom is referring to a frame proposed by George Lakoff several years ago. The strict father family model assumes that the world is dangerous And so children, people, must be protected. Children are born bad. They want to do what feels good, not what is right, and have to be made good. A strict father is needed to protect and support the family and to teach the kids right from wrong. The key strategy is inflict punishment, painful enough that to avoid it, children will learn the internal discipline needed to be moral. So you can probably hear the theological implications in this. An assumption of original sin, in contrast to our Unitarian Universalist perspective of original blessing, inherent worth and dignity. But you can also imagine, if your model of reality is the strict father model, it's necessary to be tough. Being tough is a way to stand on the side of love. This perspective leads to a need to impose and enforce rules. Legal and illegal become very important. This word illegal is frequently used in the immigration debate in sentences like, "What part of illegal do you not understand?" And we have to get those illegals out of our country. Words matter. Others of us, those who come from the model of reality based on solidarity and nurturing between brothers and sisters, use the words people without documents or undocumented workers. And I personally work hard not to mistake an adjective describing an action taken by a person for a noun that names and defines the person. People are not illegal. Only actions are. People have documentation or they don't. Now, people without documents are not criminals. They have not committed a crime. Being in the U.S. without documents or with expired documents, as many, many people who do not have documents are, is a civil offense, like driving without a license. So it's handled outside the criminal justice system. The consequence is deportation, not a jail sentence. But of course, people without documents or with expired documents are violating U.S. immigration laws. They are not criminals, but they are violating laws. For many, this makes the issue clear-cut. Obey the law. This seems only fair. And the rule of law is vitally important to the safety of this and any democracy. So what about that? The Reverend Peter Morales, the first Latino president of our UU Association of Congregations, our current president, responds this way. It is true that as citizens, we should respect the rule of law. More importantly, though, our duty is to create laws founded on our highest sense of justice, equity, and compassion. Loud voices urge us to choose fear, denial, reactionary nationalism, and racism. We must resist and choose the better way urged by every major religious tradition. We must choose the path of compassion and hope. We must choose a path that is founded on the recognition that we are connected, that we are all in this together. Here ends the quote. Now, I personally ascribe to the nurturing brother-sister model of reality. I trust the inherent worth and dignity of every person. I believe that we are all interrelated, and so I seek to discover that connectedness rather than focus on differences. I choose to trust the world rather than fear the world. And I trust that we can discover answers to this complex issue of immigration. I don't claim to have them now, but I want to understand the issues and seek solutions based in my UU values. Peter Morales continues, if we truly accept that we are all part of a greater whole, that what unites and transcends us is ultimately more important than our illusion of individuality, how might that guide us? I do not have all the policy answers on immigration or the related issues of public education, healthcare, or the economy. I do know this. Breaking up poor working families who have lived among us for years does not feel like justice, equity, and compassion in action. Refusing minimal health services to young children does not feel like the way we should treat members of our human family. Having our police forces profile brown people does not feel like breaking down the walls of tribalism. Creating a huge wall complete with barbed wire across hundreds of miles of border does not feel neighborly. There must be a better way, and you and I must help build it. Here ends the quote from our president. As Unitarian Universalists, we are compelled to address this issue because our annual General Assembly is scheduled for Phoenix in 2012. Earlier in the service, we heard the resolutions from this year's General Assembly calling us to address this issue as a four-year congregational study action issue and committing us to be in Phoenix in 2012 for a Justice GA. We have already begun. When Arizona's law went into effect July 31st, we were there. Okay, not you or me, but our fellow Unitarian Universalists were there. 83 of them were arrested for nonviolent acts of civil disobedience. They prepared for and planned to be arrested. This is part of our Unitarian and Universalist heritage. We were there in Selma. Unitarian Minister James Reeb was killed while in Selma for civil rights. The Reverend David Miller was in Phoenix, and he describes a moving moment. As I stood on the street corner watching those who had volunteered to get arrested stake their claim to the street, I heard a young African-American girl turn to her mother and say, "What are they doing?" Her mother replied, "Do you remember what I told you about Dr. Martin Luther King? That is what they are doing." I broke into tears. I looked around at the police sweating in the three-digit temperatures in their black uniforms and riot gear. I looked at the white faces, the brown faces, the black faces, and I thought, what pain. What unnecessary pain. But I also thought, there is a theme to Dr. King's efforts, the current efforts for marriage equality, and this sweaty, hot work in the streets of Phoenix. This is not about a debate on immigration. It is about the need for basic human dignity. The efforts on the streets of Selma, in the canyons of San Francisco, and on the baking pavements of Phoenix continue the stream of dignity versus oppression, cooperation versus control, and love-based human sustainability versus fear-based action. Here ends the quote. This is a defining moment for Unitarian Universalism. We got national attention for our actions in Arizona this summer. David continued, and let me tell you, he's another minister like me who had a business career prior to ministry. He says, "There we were in our orangish yellow shirts in mass with the giant word love on our chests. Excuse the old marketing guy in me, but there it was, our brand. We were being called the love people. People from all over the association linked arm in arm with brothers and sisters in the struggle and with our president leading the way. I was so proud. I was proud of our joint effort, our cooperation with local organizations, and the visible power we had being there together. We were supporting each other as members of a faith steeped in the power of love to change hearts. We can do so much together as an association. Yes, we are congregationally based in our governance, but when we work together and realize the power of Unitarian Universalism as one strong body, our efforts are electrifying. Together we are a joyful, singing force of love." Here ends David's quote. Our UU brothers and sisters are calling us to address this issue. Circumstances are calling us to address this issue. Resolutions passed at General Assembly are calling us to address this issue. As we heard in the story for all ages, people do not always respond to calls, especially calls that feel difficult. Like Jonah, you may be tempted to turn and run. And if it's genuinely your call, it will keep coming after you. And for some of you, this may not be your call. This may not be your issue. If that's the case, keep listening for what is your call. What is your issue? But remember that sometimes resistance to a call is an indication that it, in fact, is your call. Many UUs answered the call to go to Phoenix. It mattered that we were there. 83 of us were arrested. Hundreds more supported those who were arrested, both UU's and from other organizations. Someone sitting inside Sheriff Joe Arpaio's paddy wagon after being arrested said, "I remember someone saying, 'Look, the yellow shirts are here. The UU's are here.' Our energy, our hearts were immediately lifted. It mattered that we were in Phoenix." Now, Phoenix, that feels pretty far away and maybe not so relevant to those of us here in the Rogue Valley. But let me tell you, when our yellow shirts were standing on the side of love in Arizona, the Oregon state legislator from Medford, Sal Esquivel, was also in Arizona taking a stand, speaking at the Stand with Arizona rally supporting the controversial immigration law. He is considering proposing similar legislation here in Oregon. Although he acknowledges reservations about the piece that allows police to ask for immigration documents during a routine traffic stop. So he implicitly acknowledges the racism inherent in that provision when he says Canadians aren't asked for this kind of documentation, so why should people from Mexico? In response, the group Oregon Action is coordinating a march and a rally for just immigration reform to occur during Medford's multicultural fair next Saturday, September 25th. Responding to the call from our General Assembly, our Social Justice and Action Committee at RUF is seizing this opportunity to engage in action and learning. They are sponsors of the rally, and they have arranged for the immigrant rights activist speaker from Arizona, who is coming for the rally, to come here to engage with us as we seek to understand more about immigration. He'll be here next Sunday at noon after the service. This is a difficult issue. I am sure that there are many different viewpoints in this room and that there might be some anxiety about that diversity of opinion. We know how to handle diversity. We know how to listen with respect, compassion, and curiosity. We do it with our theological diversity, and we are called to do it as we address this issue. Because we are called to study and act about this complex and volatile issue, not as policymakers, but as Unitarian Universalists, people who affirm the worth and dignity of every person, who believe that a world of peace, liberty, and justice for all is possible and is worth pursuing. We are called to learn and to act, and some of us will decline, some of us will accept. We will not all agree. We will learn from each other. We will learn as we act. My hope is that we will be changed in the process, the way our fellow UUs who went to Arizona were changed. People I trust are calling me to learn and act. I am accepting that call. Next Saturday, I will stand with our local brothers and sisters seeking just immigration reform, and Sunday I will learn with many of you here in this great hall. I invite you to listen to the call and respond in whatever way rings true for you. I invite you to stand with me. Minister. Or candidate for ministry.
This is also written by a UU musician and a minister, candidate for ministry, named Amy Carroll Webb, and it's a perfect thing. What did he say? The quote was being a joyful singing force. Mm-hmm. So you have to sing loud on this one, to sing louder than the rain.